As Phoenix continues to grow, some districts with long-held identities are being forced to change, for better or worse, and not everyone can agree on whether that evolution is ultimately a move in the right direction or not. Consider Grand Avenue, a home to artists and small business owners that some believe is going through a period of gentrification. Some residents there look at the changes that have reshaped the Roosevelt Row Arts District in recent years and wonder if the same will happen there. But not everyone agrees that Grand Avenue is on the verge of something big, and it's not the only area that's continued to evolve with the city. Joining me now to talk about what these changes mean to Phoenix is Lynn Trimble, who's written about Grand Avenue for Phoenix New Times. Lynn, how would you describe what Grand Avenue is right now and how it's been perceived?
The words I hear most often associated with Grand Avenue are funky, unique, creative. It's a space where there's a lot of street art, a lot of artists that own property that have studio spaces there. You actually see physical markers of artists, which doesn't happen in every place where artists live. You know, they put up beautiful woven designs on fences, for example. If you go to the old Bragg's Pie Factory building, where you've now got things like a letterpress and a gallery, you'll see what's called the woven, they're woven fences and hanging gardens. And the hanging gardens are comprised primarily of stuffed animals hanging in little baskets or buckets. They're hanging from the trees, and you look up and you're surrounded by this wonderment of creativity and innocence and wonder. And it still has that sense that some art spaces lose when they get a little too pretty, shiny, polished.
Has it been able to maintain that in the way that a lot of people would like? What changes are coming there? What changes have come or could come?
You do have some new folks moving in, and I, you know, whether it's good or bad, I think is all in the eye of the beholder, right? But we know, for example, that the owner of Yoga Democracy has purchased an old warehouse, and he'll be doing kind of a mixed-use space there. So that's, you know, bringing in a bigger brand that can be alarming for some people. And we know that some folks called the Pueblo, who have a place in Garfield, are opening something called the Conservatory, which is going to be kind of a community space plant shop on Grand. So there's some new folks coming in, but I think they've all got that creative twist. There are some things about Grand Avenue that will prevent it from becoming, for example, a high-rise or a mid-rise type of community.
Okay, we'll point out what some of those are.
Yeah. For one thing, the zoning laws are, this is not a sexy topic, but this is what it really comes down to, right? Okay. You can only build up to a certain number of stories on Grand Avenue, and it varies in the exact place that you're in, but in some it's just a couple, sometimes it's up to five or six. Mm. But you know, when you go to Roosevelt Row, you have apartment buildings that are, for example, 10, 11 stories. So not having that height prevents it from getting that, you know, big city gentrified feel that some people are concerned about. So just by virtue of the zoning laws, it's bound to maintain its sort of small town creative vibe. And there's also, I think, a particular type of creative that gravitates toward Grand. Hmm. And that's the person who enjoys having something that's unique and, you know, not big box, something that's their own. And also you have, of course, Beatrice Moore. One of the best known personalities there. She and Tony Zahn own 8 properties there. And because they've got that ownership and went in and bought those before we began to see some of these changes, they've got that larger voice, that footprint. And of course, they control what happens in their own spaces. And since they're quirky, fabulously funky people, they spread that vibe to the rest of the neighborhood. And it's just kind of stuck. And I think people embrace it.
You mentioned a slight comparison to Roosevelt Row. Did mm-hmm. Roosevelt Row ever have that vibe, even for a brief time? Because people might say, well, Grand Avenue has maintained what it has, but there are changes that could come. I mean, if people are worried about that, are there other examples you see that make Grand Avenue unique from Roosevelt Row or what Roosevelt Row has become, other than some of the zoning?
Roosevelt Row has a couple other characteristics that Grand doesn't have necessarily. Roosevelt Row is so close to a freeway exit and has a light rail station right at Central and Roosevelt. And so that means a lot more people are coming in for other things like dining and things beyond art. And it also has the ASU campus, which, again, it's not a pro or a con. It's just a fact that it brings in more people. And that population influx, it makes a difference. And you don't have that same population influx on Grand Avenue. And that's what some of the artists have told us. They think by virtue of being a little more out of the way, a little, you know, on this one kind of cattywampus diagonal street in the city, that they're less likely to get the hordes of people. And I think they like that idea.
Can you describe what Garfield has become at this point, what Garfield could be, and do you see any parallels or something with Grand or Roosevelt Row at this point?
Garfield, I think, like all the neighborhoods in Phoenix, has its own unique flavor and characteristics, and I wouldn't necessarily, I think it's quite different than Grand, it's quite different than Roosevelt, and of course, it's home to one of our oldest downtown art spaces, Alwyn House. And one of the great things about that is, A, that Alwyn House has stayed and remained. I mean, that's a really good sign that that anchor of the city's art scene has continued in that space. And also they're expanding to create a green art park. Mm-hmm. So that's a good sign, a healthy sign that they're expanding. And the people who operate Alwyn House, Kim and Dana, are very involved in the community and community meetings. And so there's this kind of push and pull between they play together nicely, the arts and the rest of the neighborhood. Maybe that's the way to put it. And I think that's probably the best way to prevent having something happen that gets out of control or isn't what you wanted. We haven't seen a lot of other creative spaces move into Garfield. One is the Pueblo, which again, Michael Lanier and Corey Bruckner have taken their concept from, which was originally the Bosque in Roosevelt Row. They moved into an old pharmacy building in Garfield. And then they're expanding to a place called the Conservatory that they're getting ready now in one of Beatrice Moore's buildings on Grand Avenue. Mm-hmm. So there's all this kind of shifting. But I don't see, you know, other than Alwyn House and Pueblo, there aren't a lot of creative spaces except for a couple of little artist studios and folks who live in Garfield. And you've got, of course, like Welcome Diner, right, Gallo Blanco. But we're not seeing huge mid-rises go up. And so it doesn't feel, if you drive through that neighborhood, you still feel that wonderful sense of community and small town. And so I don't know that there's any, you know, people are always very, I know it's good to ask the question, right, before it happens. Mm-hmm. And the word to the wise, maybe, from those who have shared their experiences with me is, if one of these neighborhoods is a heart tug for you and you're able to get property now, do it before it grows.
Lynn Trimble is a Valley arts writer who has written about Grand Avenue for Phoenix New Times.